To you all, it's good to be here. Hopefully my voice holds out, I'm fighting something. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Sunday morning, for the day of worship, for a time that we can come together and sit under your word, to sing praises to you, to have fellowship with each other. We ask that you would come and you would meet with us here this morning. Speak to every individual heart, Father, in a real way. Help me to be able to bring forth this message as you have laid on my heart, with clarity and with truth and with your spirit working through the words, God. As we commit to you, in the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to start off with a question this morning. If you could have an audience with someone, who would it be? You could have an audience with somebody. Who would it be? I'm not trying to spiritualize it or anything. It can be practical. It can be anything. Anything. If you would have an opportunity this week to fly anywhere in the world and have an audience, an appointment with a certain person, and sit down and ask them questions, who would it be? Now, somebody come to mind when I ask that question. Or would you have to be thinking about it for a while? You know, I guess it would depend on what you want to ask. It would depend on his expertise, right? I have this older gentleman. He's called Jake Cheddar. He works for APCO. He's in his 60s. I believe he's related to Alyssa somehow. He's been gone from the colony for years and years and years, and he has been a tech for 42 years. So if I have a question on a boiler or a burner or a control or anything like that, I phone Jake or I phone APCO and said, I want Jake to come. Now they have a lot of techs. And when I phone Jake and I ask him a question about that particular burner, why it's doing this and that, and he'll ask me some questions, and he will answer me, and I can tell you what, I'm listening. Because I've been working with him now for 2 years, and I actually don't think I have seen him diagnose something wrong yet. He's very, very, very experienced and very, very, very knowledgeable in his field. So if I want an audience with somebody regarding powder coat paint booth with burners, I'm going to phone up Jake. Anybody come to mind that you'd like this week to be able to fly to or walk to or drive to? Nobody? Donald Trump? Brother Benji, what would you ask Donald Trump? You'd probably just listen to him. Okay. So what if you would go visit somebody in particular that you want to ask some questions, could be some very hard questions, And you know that person in that field is very experienced, and more than likely he will know the answers to those questions. What if you would sit down and you would lay out a bunch of questions and you would ask him all the questions, and then that person would start to answer, and then you just walk away and leave? And you would just walk away and leave. How foolish would that be? You would walk away without waiting for an answer. That's an introduction to my message this morning. So let's turn to 1 Samuel 3, if you want to follow along. Well, it might be hard to follow along because I'm going to just jump around here, because you all know the story. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. I don't know how old he was. I think people think maybe around 12-year-olds. So you 12, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds here, you listen. And the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before the Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That God wasn't speaking to his people. God wasn't talking to his people, and there were no widespread revelations. There was basically the nation of Israel was going on. Prophets were silent. Nobody was talking. God wasn't talking to anybody in particular. And then we go down to verse 3. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." You 12-year-olds, you sometimes hear a voice at night, God calling you. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Or you could say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Does the Lord still speak to his children today? Question. Does the Lord still speak to his children today? I'm pretty sure that each and every one of you would say yes. Yes. But I'd like to ask you a personal question this morning. Is he speaking to you on a daily basis? Or is it like at the time of Israel there, where it says, and the word of God was rare. It was rarely God was speaking to them. Where are you at this morning? Is he speaking to you and on a daily basis, or is it very rare? You know, you hear all those, you hear it sometimes from different believers, or you hear it especially from the charismatic Pentecostal movement. You hear comments like this. I have heard a word from the Lord. And sometimes we go a little when somebody says that. You know what? The early apostles and the early church were not shy about saying, I have heard from the Lord. And even if you go through Hebrews 11 on the faith chapter, those men and women clearly heard from the Lord. And they clearly followed his voice. But it's been taken to the extreme where I believe there's emotionalism and all kinds involved with, I have heard from the Lord, and you question it. Then you hear comments like this. The Lord told me to tell you this. So let's say you run into this Christian in Winnipeg, and this Christian would say he just had a revelation. And he would say, you know what, the Lord told me to tell Kenny, to tell you this. I'm prophesying over you, or the Lord is talking to me, and I'm telling you this. Well, I guess a good answer for you, Kenny, could be, you know, speak. But I'll wait till he confirms it to me also. You know, if you want to say the Lord spoke to you regarding this and you're not quite sure, well, you know what? I'm just going to give this some time and see if the Lord also confirms it with me. But back to my question. Does the Lord still speak to his children today? Well, let's go to John 10, 3. And I'm going to jump, in that chapter, I'm going to jump through a bunch of verses, just for sake of time. But he who enters at the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. Personal, isn't it? And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before him, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They recognize his voice. And a world of many voices, we should know his voice when he speaks to us. Down to 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Down to 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. I know you. I know my sheep by name. And I am known by them, and I speak to them, and they listen, and they hear my voice. The other sheep I have which are not in this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. John 16, I'd like to read some more verses. John 16, 12 to 14. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will declare unto us what God wants to speak to us. So how does he speak to us? Well, obviously through his word. If this is the written word of God, that should be our number one thing that God ministers and speaks to us. And back to saying that some people, you run into people and they say, well, the Lord told me this and this, or you hear a Pentecostal preacher preaching on a certain thing, and it just doesn't line up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then surely the Holy Spirit didn't tell him that. You know, the Word of God, that is set. That is the solid foundation. There are a lot of voices out there. But those voices, if they don't line up with the Word of God, cannot be from the Holy Spirit. But the incredible thing about the Word of God is, let's say 10 of us go home, and in our quiet time, we would read John 16, that chapter. And we would read through the entire chapter slowly and quietly. And God would put a finger upon a certain verse that would hit us or strike us or minister to us. Interesting part is, if we would come together the next day and we would all share what the Lord spoke to us out of the same chapter, all 10 of us might have heard something else. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible how the Word of God has been preserved for thousands of years and ministers in such a personal way yet today, over and over and over and over again? And I'm sure we could all testify to that. Even Old Testament stories. If you read the life of Daniel or Joseph, and you read it, and all of a sudden, God touches you in a certain area. Oh, this is how I am, or this is how I should be, or that is something I can aspire to. Through the Old Testament stories, and a different brother or sister could be reading the same story, and something else could be ministering to them. It's an incredible gift that God has granted to us, that after thousands of years, we still have it. We still have it. But this morning, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in that. We sang that first verse of Break Thou the Bread of Life, and there's a line there that says, Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. And years ago, I still remember it. I don't remember much of the message, but I actually do remember the title. Roman Kaufman preached it at one of the tent meetings. The title of that message was called Beyond the Sacred Page. I don't know if any one of you remembers that message, but I do. And I have no idea what he preached on, but I remember that message, and that's somewhat what I'd like to talk about today. My title this morning is Speak, for Your Servant is Listening. Speak, for Your Servant is Listening. Now, if you get born again at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, whenever you got born again, there's a journey that starts. There's a journey that starts, and it's this: learning to hear and to discern the voice of God in your life personally. I'd like to read an article that I found online. Helpful ways to listen to God. Yeah. Years ago, I dreamed of learning to play the piano. I envisioned my fingers dancing across the keyboard, making beautiful music. Well, if you know me, obviously I didn't write this. And then I started taking lessons. Learning to read music was like learning a new language. My brain was slow to translate the notes to my hands. Fingers stiff and cumbersome, I plodded. I stumbled and plinked, making many mistakes. Definitely not the beautiful, free-flowing music I had imagined. When it comes to spiritual growth, learning to listen to God is also a process that takes time and tension and effort. Because we can't see God, and most of us don't audibly hear Him, it can be frustrating to recognize His voice. Developing our spiritual ears is much like learning many new skills. For years, I would hear someone talk about hearing from God in a way that made me feel second-class Christian. I wondered why God isn't speaking to me in the same way. It was easy to feel impatient with the process of spiritual growth. Beyond the borders of the pages of the Bible, God also speaks through our thoughts, intuition, and conversations, as well as through the preaching of His Word and the wise counsel of other Christians. As we grow in our relationship with God and get to know Him through His Word, we begin to recognize how He communicates with us. The more we know Him, the more we make intentional choices to trust Him moment by moment. It's a lifelong journey of learning. So I have a bunch of points that I'd like to talk about here this morning. First one I found in 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, 9 to 13. Here is where Elijah ran away after where the fire of the Lord fell down on that altar there with, I think it was 300 or 400 Baal prophets there, and he ran away and went to a cave. It was a time of discouragement for him. There was threats upon his life. And 9, it says, there he went into a cave and spent the night in the place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, have killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Some translations will say a whisper. So it was when Elijah heard that whisper, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Sometimes God just simply whispers. And my question on this point is here, are you quiet enough to hear? You know, in this case here, if I would read the prior verses, it was loud. God was speaking loudly. Incredible, miraculous event happened when that fire came down from heaven and consumed the altar. And then God spoke there, and then afterwards, there was just this whisper. You know whispers? Whispers can be easily missed in life. Be easily missed in life. Mark 1:35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now in the morning, having risen long before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Was he just praying? I think he went out praying, but I think he went out on purposely to find a solitary place that was quiet enough for him to hear the voice of his Father. It was a very familiar verse that we all know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be very, very purposeful about this. A few times a day, quieten your heart and mind. A few times a day, quieten your heart and mind. I don't know if this was as needful back in the old days where there was more quietness and less phone and less distractions. I don't know. I didn't live back there, but I know it's so vitally important for us believers today that we're purposeful about this. Choose to not listen to something else as you're driving to work. As you're going down the highway, choose to be quiet. Choose to be quiet. If you're sitting at lunch break, choose to put this off and to be quiet for a few minutes before God. You will be amazed how it will change your day if you do that consistently. Earbuds. Who here has a pair? Surely there's more than that. Are they a help for you? Absolutely, they can be. They can be. They can be an absolute help for you. So I can't answer you that question for you. How you use them and when you use them, I can't answer that question for you. You're going to have to discern that. As you're using them, are they helping you or are they distracting you? You know, a lot of mornings when I come to work, I'm there very early. Everything's very quiet. One shop's still down, one shop's barely opening, Nick's not around yet, and many times I'll put them in, and I'll go about doing my check-throughs and stuff, and I'll wear my earbuds I'll listen to a few songs. I enjoy that, but I quickly realize after a while that I'm getting busy about my day, I'm starting to think about all kinds of things, and they're still going. Nothing worshipful about it. Really, honestly, they're just noise at that point. Are you listening to a message? Are you listening to a message? Are you actually listening to a message? Or is it just sort of going in the background? Now, if you're actually listening to a message, I think it's good. But it depends on what type of work you do, I guess. Mine is up and down. Sometimes I actually can concentrate on one. Sometimes I can't. That's something I have to decide. If earbuds are a distraction or a help, I have to be conscious about it. Because I put them out, and I meditate on different things. Sometimes my work doesn't allow it. Sometimes it does. And sometimes I ask God questions. And I'm waiting for an answer. (Clears throat) my question this morning is, are you quiet enough to listen? Next point is, you know, when I started this message, I said, is there any particular person that you could think of that you would like to make an appointment to have an audience with? Guess what? You can, at any given time, anywhere in the entire world, you can have an audience with the King. Anytime, anywhere, you can have an audience with the King. It is a privilege. It's an honor to be able to freely come into His presence. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to freely come into His presence. It's for sure a way bigger honor than to come into Donald Trump's presence. Now, it would be an interesting one to do. But it would be incredibly hard to line up, wouldn't it? Probably, for us, impossible. But to have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of this universe, our Father, our Savior, we can do anytime. Hebrews 10:19-22 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us come with a boldness and a confidence and a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's how He wants us to come. That's how He is waiting for us to come. That's how, I believe, if we go one chapter further to chapter 11, I believe that's how Abraham, Sarah, Moses, on and on, the men of faith, David, Samuel, I believe that's how they came. All the men and women of faith were normal people who heard the voice of God and believed Him and walked it out. They were just normal men and women like us. They heard the voice of God, they believed that they heard, and they faithfully walked it out. I want to go over a bunch of points this morning that I have learned myself personally or observed throughout the years that have been a help to me in these areas. They're probably not new, any one of them. But I believe whoever would come up and share these, there was some different and some different angles coming from these. So I think I have quite a few points. Some of them are going to go over quickly. Some of them more expounding on. My first one is this. You are at a stalemate or a standstill if your conscience isn't clear before God. You're at a stalemate, you're at a standstill as a Christian, that's where you're stuck. You're not moving. He still wants to speak to you, but you know that when you quieten your heart, He will tell you and point to that one thing. If you, I'm talking more if you wouldn't already know, but you're kind of trying to push it away. It's happened to me through the years. Something I knew I should deal with and I should take care of. And I really was somewhat avoiding God as far as quietening my heart or truly, truly listening, because I knew if I will, He's going to put His finger there and say, "Son, deal with that one thing first, and then I'll keep talking to you." And that stalemate can go on for hours, for days, for months, maybe for some Christians for years. But whatever it is, they are stuck. That's where they're at. Do you really want to stay there? If you know there's something that God has laid on your heart, do you really, really want to stay there? How much time are you willing to waste before you'll be obedient to that one thing? And I have nothing in mind when I say that. If there is something here and somebody, may the Lord reveal that to you. You can pretend. You can go on with your Christian walk pretending. But the fact is, you are not going anywhere until you are obedient to His voice on that one thing. So point number one, are you at a stalemate or a standstill? Point number two, ask, then listen. Simple principle. If I ask a brother a question and he answers, I listen to that answer. The Bible says, knock, ask, knock, seek. When you ask, He will not give you a stone. He will give you a fish. He will give you what is good. Expect an answer when you ask. If I ask Jonathan a question, I'm expecting an answer from Jonathan. That's just how conversations work. So if I'm asking God something, I'm expecting an answer. Now, sometimes God withholds answers for a while for a reason, but I believe even that He can reveal to us why He is withholding an answer. So if you ask a question, if you ask God something, expect an answer. Let us come boldly. But then, be quiet enough to listen. Be quiet enough to listen. Don't be so foolish as to ask something and then walk away and forget about it. Ask, then listen. Point number three, ask for wisdom. asked for wisdom. James 1:5, a very familiar verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his works and all his ways. Is there something in your life where you lack wisdom? And you're trying to reason it or figure it out with your own brain or asking for advice or different things? Don't push it off. Go. It's pretty clear. He says, if you lack it, come and ask. That means for every Christian here, I don't know who's the youngest Christian here. If there's anything in your life that you are lacking in that area, ask. And then listen. Point number four. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. If you get a sense God is telling you to encourage that brother or sister, then just do it. If there's something in you that just all of a sudden you're thinking about somebody and what they're going through, or you feel that might be a blessing to them, and God is laying it on your heart, or you get a sense that God is laying that on your heart, you don't have to fast 3 days to make sure you heard from the Lord. If God wants me to send Caleb a text to encourage him, I surely don't need to fast 3 days to find out. Now the question is, did I hear from the Lord to do that? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? I have learned in my own life that on simple things like this, if you're faithful, you learn. You learn. There's times in my life where I felt I should do something and I did it, and I don't know, number of days or months back, I looked back and I was like, I'm actually not sure if I should have. I'm not sure if I heard from the Lord. But there was no consequences on it bad, so it didn't really matter. But I was a student of trying to discern the Lord's voice. So be conscious about that. But don't overthink it. Just do it and learn from every time you do. Sometimes there's this still small voice that tells you to do something small, and you do it. And afterwards, you just have no doubt in your mind that that was of God. I'm sure you could all testify to that. There was no doubt in your mind that was the Lord speaking to you. Learn from that. Learn from that. Don't overthink it. How about big decisions? Point number five, big decisions. So, I mean, what's big to your mind? Buying a car? Is that maybe next level? Buying a house, building a house, that big? That's bigger decision? Finding a spouse who you should marry? Is that even bigger decision? You obviously don't apply don't overthink it principle to some of those. So what do you do? You're looking for direction in a certain area on a big decision. What do you do? You pray, you know what, Lord, what should I do here? I don't want to be outside your will. What is your will for my life? One good test is this one. Give it the test of time. Give it the test of time. You know, you might get a sense, I should be doing this, I should be buying this, I should go this direction. And you're somewhat excited, you're somewhat maybe resting, but you're processing. You're in that time that it just might be actually hard to hear. Your emotions are connected, your wants are connected, maybe you want it. All kinds of things might, you might hear different voices and different advice. All kinds of things might be going on. Time seems to be able to take care of a lot of things. You know, you might be somewhat resting deep down now, but after a period of prayer and seeking the Lord, you're not quite sure anymore. And you're not quite sure anymore and becomes, actually, after a time, becomes more unclear and unclear and unclear. Give it the test of time. Or, the longer I pray about it, the more I'm sure and resting with it. Not sure what I can explain with the resting. I think that's something you have to personally work through. Dave Robertson, you used to say, you'll know deep down in your nor. Whatever that's supposed to mean, but that's what he used to say. You'll know deep down in your nor. I don't think that's a word. But there's something about a rest within that you know it's of God. There's not that wrestling. There's that rest, and you know. I can't explain that. I know what it means in my own heart. If you don't know what it means, you'll have to learn to know what it means, to find that rest in your heart. As much as possible, try to be a neutral. You know, if you have a car that's a stick shift, and you have it in gear one, the thing wants to do what? Lindsay, what does the car want to do that's in gear one? Any of you small children, what does a car want to do that's in gear one? How about if the gear is in R? What does it want to do then? Does it want to race? Come on, you little boys here. What does a car want to do that's in R? I think you know. See it in your face. I guess I'll have to help you out. If a car is in gear one, it wants to roll ahead and drive ahead. If a car is in R, it wants to back up. It means reverse. If a car is in neutral, what does it want to do? What does it want to do, adults? Nothing. It's in neutral. It doesn't want to do anything. Now, as much as possible on big decisions, try to be a neutral. The heart can be deceitful if it really, really, really wants something. Again, I can't tell you if you're in neutral. And it's sometimes very hard to totally be a neutral. But try to be a neutral as much as possible. It's hard to hear and discern the voice of God if you already want what you want. I have learned to look for that rest and peace. True rest and peace only comes from God. He will speak to you on big decisions if you are quiet and open to listen. He will. Point number 6. Put big decisions to the test of wise counsel. Put big decisions to the test of wise counsel, especially in areas where wrong decisions can lead to regret. That applies to young people, but that also applies to us older ones. Ask a brother. So he see what he says about it. Put it to that test. Be open to what you will hear. And counsel isn't necessarily always, thus saith the Lord. But it can surely, surely, surely be a big help in our lives. Point number 7. It's okay to not always get it right. It's okay to not always get it right. Remember, you're learning to discern the voice of God amongst a lot of voices and influences. There might be times where you were sure that you have heard from God, but looking back, you just simply know that you didn't. Or you look back and you feel that you only heard partially. You didn't hear everything that God wanted to speak to you. You're learning. Many times we already assume something and it can make us dull of hearing. I think assumptions can be an enemy to hearing the voice of God. So we're praying about a certain situation or something in our lives or something going on. I don't know, whatever it might be. If we are already assuming stuff, it can make us dull of hearing. Another thing that can make us dull of hearing is human reasoning. Human reasoning and trying to figure it out ourselves can also make us hard of hearing. We reason it through and we think and we come to conclusions, and we're somewhat praying about it. And yes, we might even say we're seriously praying about it, but there's assumptions there, and there's human reasoning there, and all these things are going on. And God is trying to tell us something. God is trying to speak to us, but we're not hearing. what we're not hearing. This can make us dull of hearing. Point number 8. Brotherhood. Brotherhood. If you think of a brotherhood meeting, why are we there? Why are we there? Anybody help me out? We are there to hear the voice of God. We are there to hear the voice of God. Yes, there can be discussions. Yes, there can be debates. Yes, there can be human reasoning. Yes, there can be all kinds of things. The different gifts say different things. But ultimately, we are there to hear the voice of God. Are we listening? Are we conscious to the fact that He is the head? It's His church. It's His bride. Do we come after a busy day, not settled down and quiet in our hearts? Do we come and it's just been very hectic, and we come in our brain and everything is all over the place, and we come there like that? Or do we come and our heart is quiet before God? And we come with a heart that, Lord, speak to me, speak to us. Is it possible? Is it possible that He is speaking to other brothers, but I'm not hearing or discerning His voice? Is that possible? Is that possible that I'm coming to brother's meeting and he is speaking to different brothers, but he's not speaking to me? Because I'm not listening. I'm not coming quiet. I'm coming with maybe preconceived ideas, with assumptions. I'm coming with the business of my job or home life still going. And I'm coming like that. And I'm not hearing and I'm not listening. But I know God wants to speak to me. Brothers, let's come quietly. Let's come prepared. And I'd like to add that to all of us. That's how we should come Sunday morning to church as well. That's how we should come Sunday morning to church as well. We are here to hear the voice of God to us personally and to us corporately. Hopefully, that is why we came. And hopefully, you're quiet enough to hear His voice. And my heart is, as you start this week, that throughout the day, you would be intentional about being still and know that I am God. You will be intentional about periodically doing that as time allows. Point number 9. Don't miss or fail the tests in your life. Don't miss or fail the tests in your life. As you go through a trial or a test, you should be asking this question. Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Lord, what are you teaching me? He will tell you. He will tell you if you are listening. Don't miss or fail the tests in your life. It is vitally important that we are listening, especially as we go through something hard. These are the times when God wants to speak to us. How would I say this? Through the deeper things in our lives, I should say. It's through these times that God somehow touches something a little deeper. My last point here this morning is know his heart. Know his heart. The more you know his word, the more you know his character and his will. The more you know the word of God, the more you know God, the more you know Jesus, the more you know the Holy Spirit, the more you know his will for your life, the more you walk with him, commune in prayer with him, and listen to him, the more you will become like him, and the more he will be able to use you. Remember the verse I said earlier? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You can make that personal. Victor hears my voice, and I know Victor, and Victor follows me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them personally, and they follow me. They hear. They're listening. In closing, I'd like to read Luke 8:18. It's an interesting verse, and if you look it up in the newer translations, it's found right after the seed and the sower. About good seeds falling on ground and certain different grounds and how it is received. And Jesus shared this verse after, Luke 8:18. I'm going to read the Amplified. So be careful how you listen, for whoever has a teachable heart in him, more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a longing for truth, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. So be careful how you listen.